The Nooshkek District just exceeded its preseason forecast. The total run to the district now sits at 22.7 million. That's almost a million over the forecasted 21.8 million sockeye. And catches are still strong. Really strong. On the east side, it's looking like boats will be restricted to the Naknek River Special Harvest Area for a while longer. It's Wednesday, July 11th. I'm your host, Avery Lill. You're tuned in to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on listener-supported KDLG.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
On tonight's show, for just the third time since 2001, sport fishing is getting cut back to protect the Kwajalein River sockeye escapement. A sport fish manager shares his prospects for the Naknek Kwajalein District this year, and they're not rosy.
The east side is definitely not enjoying some of the things, some of the abundance we're seeing over here on the west side.
Area management biologist Travis Ellison weighs in on how long fishing in his district may be limited to the Naknek River Special Harvest Area.
Caught up a couple days, now we're about 3 days behind the escapement goal curve.
We'll also hear from an economist on the potential market for Bristol Bay sockeye.
We've got the demand, not enough supply, prices go up.
That and more on tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen, online at bristolbayfishermen.org. Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
Now the numbers. Ugashik is still not fishing. Yesterday they saw a daily escapement of 44,580 sockeye. That puts the cumulative escapement in Ugashik at 164,700 sockeye. 87,000 sockeye estimated in river, so the total run to the Ugashik district sits at 662,700. In Igigik, 300,000 sockeye caught yesterday for a cumulative catch of 2.1 million. Daily escapement, 22,000, for a cumulative escapement on the Igigik River of 1 million. The in-river estimate, 50,000. That puts the total run to the district at 3.2 million. The Naknek Kwajalein yesterday saw a daily catch of 283,000 sockeye. Cumulative catch in the district, 1.8 million. Daily escapement, 328,900 for a cumulative escapement, 2.3 million. That puts the total run in the district at 4.4 million right now. Let's break down the escapement by river. The Alagnak River saw escapement yesterday of 59,000 for cumulative escapement of 320,000. The Kwajalein River, 123,500 sockeye up the river yesterday for a cumulative 874,000 so far, an in-river estimate of 250,000. The Naknek River escapement was 146,000 yesterday for a cumulative escapement of 1.1 million. The Nooshkek saw another huge catch, 1.4 million fish yesterday. The cumulative catch so far, breaking records every day, 16.4 million. Daily escapement was 313,000 for a cumulative 6.2 million escapement in the district. Total run to the Nooshkek district, 22.6 million. The Agushik River yesterday saw escapement of 30,000 for a total of 262,000 this season. On the Wood River, 236,500 sockeye made it past the tower yesterday, another 37,000 this morning before 6 a.m., and that puts total escapement up the Wood River at 5.3 million for the season. On the Nooshkek River, 2,144 kings escaped upriver for a total of 82,000 so far this season. Sockeye yesterday, 47,000 for a total escapement up the Nooshkek, 698,000. Chum yesterday, 14,300 for a season total escapement on the Nooshigak of 584,000. The Togiak Counting Tower saw 4,800 sockeye yesterday and another 210 before 6 a.m. this morning. That puts season escapement at Togiak at 26,000. For the Area M fishery, 112,000 sockeye caught yesterday for a season total harvest of 1.4 million. Let's look at your numbers. We're still waiting to find out if the Port Muller Test Fisheries research vessel Pandalus was able to fish today. It's been weathered out for the past few days. If it was able to, that will be the final Port Muller catch of the season.
Support for KDLG comes from Alaska Eagle Eye, locally owned and operated with car, truck, tool, equipment, and adventure gear rentals at the King Salmon Airport. Committed to getting you on your way in Bristol Bay. Reservations at 246-CARS.
Support for KDLG comes from Nomar in Homer, Alaska, working year-round to make gear for Alaska fishermen and offering brailer and slush bags for the fishing season. Information at nomaralaska.com or 1-800-478-8364.
Thanks for sticking with us. Just a couple more numbers before we move into the rest of the show. Sockeye per drift delivery in Igigik yesterday was 579. Sockeye per drift delivery in the Naknek-Quijak, 677. In the Nooshigak, 945. In Togiak, 180. Vessel registration as of 9 a.m. this morning, Igigik had 257 permits registered on 213 vessels, 44 D-boats. In 48 hours, there will be 215 vessels. Naknek-Quijak, 326 permits on 283 vessels, 44 D-boats. In 48 hours, 284 vessels. In the Nooshigak, 950 permits, registered on 703 vessels, 245 D-boats, 729 vessels in 48 hours. In Togiak, 38 permits on 38 vessels, and those numbers will remain steady for 48 hours. In Ugashik, 122 permits on 92 vessels, 30 D-boats. Those numbers will also remain steady for 2 days. The Quijak River is struggling to hit the bottom end of its escapement goal, 2 million sockeye. Commercial fishing has been restricted to the mouth of the Naknek River since Saturday, which means that no dual permit boats in any of Bristol Bay's five districts are able to fish with the extra 50 fathoms of gear that they are normally allowed. It also means that the Igigik district is restricted to fishing in the Igigik River special harvest area. When the conservation measure was put into place, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game was hopeful that a couple of days in the Naknek River Special Harvest Area could boost escapement on the Quijak River enough to get it on track to meet its escapement goal and reopen the Naknek-Quijak District. This afternoon, Area Management Biologist Travis Ellison said that while escapement on the Quijak has improved, it's not yet at the level he hoped to see.
What we thought Port Muller was going to indicate for us didn't really turn into many fish for the district. So we're kind of stuck in here for right now. We've been pacing escapements with in the Quijak between 100 and 200,000 for the last 4 days, going on 5 days by the time we're done with today. And that kind of just keeps us pacing the curve. We've caught up a couple days. Now we're about 3 days behind the escapement goal curve, improving slightly there. A little optimistic, though, because we're hearing good reports of fish in the district from our test boat and also from some people hanging out around Graveyard Point. So that's a good indication we might get a bump of escapement into the Quijak over the next 3 days or so. And we're also seeing good numbers of fish getting caught this morning in the Naknek River. So group of fish that moved through Port Muller on July 3rd, which would mean we probably have another bump of fish coming in a couple days. And so when this current group of fish moves up to the river, to the tower at McQuijack, I hope it'll get us close to the 2 million mark that we need to see by the end of the season. So, you know, probably about the 15th, by July 15th, we'll be looking really close for seeing the signs we need to try to move out of the river.
So July 15th would probably be the earliest commercial fishing could get out of the Naknek River?
That's what it's looking like right now, unless, I mean, it's hard to quantify what's in the district right now based off of one test boat, but I do believe there's potential there to really catch us up and get us, you know, 500,000 fish over in a day would get us much closer and help catch up to where we need to be. So we'll see. We might not be in here forever, but hard to know. I know right now that whatever's out there, we need to get in the river for escapement. So,
and is there a chance that the Naknek River Special Harvest Area could be the place where boats end up hanging out for the rest of the commercial season?
Yeah, there's a possibility of that. And once we get really through, you know, this time next week, we really need to start thinking about how we are going to finish the season with the Special Harvest Area, how long to drag that out. If we don't actually get to the 2 million minimum, hopefully we won't have to think about that, but it's something I'm already starting to mull around. And, yeah, we'll kind of cross that bridge when we get there. Hopefully we won't have to cross it.
Yeah, fair enough. Travis, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks, Avery.
Now we get a unique look at how funneling a lot of boats into a small space can take its toll on gear. KDLG's East Side reporter Mitch Borden caught up with a local net hanger to see how fishing in the river will affect a fisherman's greatest tool.
Marcia Dale has hung nets for 30 years and runs the What's It To You Net Shop in Naknek. Since Saturday, she's been watching fishermen struggle to catch fish in the Naknek River, which, according to her, is murder when it comes to web.
The river eats nets because they trash them constantly.
Boats run over other boats' nets. Crews get their lines snagged, and sometimes fishermen accidentally wreck their own nets, says Dale. All these crews are fishing the Naknek River because earlier this week, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced it would open up the Naknek Special Harvest Area, or NERSHA, in an effort to get more fish up the Kwajalein River, which has been lagging on its escapement. This means fishermen can only fish in the Naknek River if they're registered to the Naknek Kwajalein District. Dale's phone has been going off a lot since this announcement was made, and she says a lot of fishermen have been rushing to grab old nets.
They don't want to put on brand new gear that's going to go out and get trashed and end up with fish gurry in it in 2 seconds and big holes, and there's a lot of snags out there. Once they open the Kwajalein, it'll be interesting to see how many nets they have left.
Dale pretty much has a front row seat to the madness. From her net shed, she can easily see boats keeping busy fighting over fish and
trying to dodge tenders, trying to stay out of their way, listening to the tenders threatening, I'm going to cut your net, get out of the way. It's just a very narrow channel, and everybody is trying to do everything at once.
Even though she's heard a lot of shouting over loudspeakers, Dale said it hasn't been all bad.
I did hear one tender as he left say to the Naknek fleet, good fishing. It was the only nice thing a tender actually has said.
Fishermen on the east side of Bristol Bay haven't seen anything close to the hauls boats are getting in the Nooshaghak district. Dale says this has made it hard for some fishermen to think optimistically about the rest of the season.
They're not even thinking they're ready to cry.
But she says hope hasn't completely left the Naknek fleet. All they need now is for more sockeye to arrive.
Everybody's waiting for the Kwajalein to come in and waiting so they can get out of the river and actually go fishing.
For now, though, fishermen will have to make the best of what they can catch in the Naknek River Special Harvest Area. In Naknek, I'm Mitch Borden.
It's not only commercial fishermen facing restrictions on the Kwajalein River. Fish and Game recently announced sport fishing restrictions to help those reds make it upstream. Starting just after midnight Wednesday, sport fishermen can only take 2 sockeye instead of 5 in the Kwajalein River and Lake Iliamna drainage system. The Alagnek River is excluded from the restriction. Assistant Area Manager Lee Borden says this is just the third time they've put in bag limits since 2011 when the Board of Fisheries implemented its management plan.
The reason this came down the line is We are currently projecting under the 2 million escapement for the Quijack River. And so in the management plan, it stipulates that if you're projecting below 2 million, you make restrictions on the sport fishery as well as close those four sensitive areas.
The closed areas are Alexi Creek and its confluence with the New Halen River, the waters of Six Mile Creek, Gibraltar's confluence with Lake Iliamna, and the Quijack River between ADF and G markers posted at Igiagig. Unfortunately, Borden didn't have much good news when he spoke with KDLG's Austin Fast today.
If there is a point where we do actually meet the escapement, then we can rescind this emergency order and it would just go out of effect.
Okay, and do you foresee that happening at any point this season?
That's a really hard question to answer, to be honest with you. At this point, we're not projecting that to happen, so that's basically what we run with. Can't really make any calls on whether we think it will or will not at this point, based mainly on the projections.
Okay, but you said you're not projecting it to open, so you don't expect to hit that 2 million point?
Currently, we don't.
All right, well, that's bad news for both sport fishermen and commercial fishermen over there. It seems like it's just an unfortunate year.
Yeah, the east side is definitely not enjoying some of the things, some of the abundance we're seeing over here on the west side.
I know, it's incredible. I looked at the daily run summary from this morning, 1.4 million catch in the Nooshigak. Again, you know, it just seems like the Nooshigak just keeps going.
Yep. West side is setting records. Yeah, absolutely. And the east side is currently struggling. Yeah, that's kind of the way things are shaking out this year.
Along those lines, the Division of Sportfish loosened restrictions for the Wood River on the 4th of July. Fishermen there can now take up to 10 sockeye per day. Also, a quick correction, those bag limits were put in place in 2001, not 2011. And now let's talk economics. While sockeye are hitting several Bristol Bay rivers more slowly than fishermen and managers would hope, sockeye returns are low around the state of Alaska. Seafood economist Andy Wink is optimistic that the lower supply could translate into a higher price at the end of the season.
You know, there's not a lot of fish around the state, with the exception of the Nooshigak. So if you're fishing in that district this year, it's a pretty good place to be. It's one of those years where, you know, just not a lot of supply, not as much as was forecasted. And so those fishermen and processors who are on the fish are going to reap benefits.
And for those who aren't fishing in the Nooshigak District, are they looking at possibly higher prices just because sockeye returns are low everywhere?
Well, yeah, I think the fact that, you know, we've seen lower returns in other areas of the state as well as other Bristol Bay districts, you know, probably coming up short of their forecast. That, you know, typically lower supply results in higher prices. And, you know, some of the early reports we've heard from, I think, at least one processor, you know, suggests that the prices are up quite a bit. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of the way it works when you've got a market that was looking for a lot of supply. And frankly, the industry has pushed a lot of supply through the supply chain in recent years. And it looks like we're probably not going to have, as much this year, at least coming statewide. So, you know, we've got the demand, not enough supply, prices go up. And I think that would be the expectation is that you're going to see a lot of buyers out there, you know, looking for sockeye, looking to fill their orders and their programs. Some of them may look towards other species, but there's a lot of people out there who still want to buy and sell sockeye. And unfortunately, we probably aren't going to have as much of it this year as we've had in recent years.
And I know that there has been a big push to build up the Bristol Bay sockeye brand. Is it a concern that there's going to be less product than initially we thought there was going to be?
Perhaps, but I think when you look at how much sockeye is coming out of the state this year, you know, almost 90% of it has been caught in the bay thus far. So it's always been the biggest game in town in terms of sockeye, but this year it's really concentrated in the bay. And, you know, with Copper River being down, we heard a lot of reports about, retailers looking to, they still want to do fresh sockeye promotions in the summer. And, okay, Copper River's not there. Cook Inlet's not producing a lot. Kodiak, well, let's bring them in from the bay. So but I think that it's, even though we're not seeing as much overall in the bay as, perhaps we were hoping by this time of the year, I think in relative terms, it's much better than other areas.
That's seafood economist Andy Wink of Wink Consulting. On July 23rd, he will join the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association as executive director. Now for some messages to the fleet. Just before the fish report, we got a $100 donation from Kemp Fisheries Unlimited since 1951. He's challenging fishing vessel Ryan B. and the fishing vessel Blake B. to meet or beat his donation. Thank you, Kemp Fisheries, and thank you to everyone who's donated so far to keep the lights on here at KDLG and to keep our voices going out over the air. To Epiphany on the fishing vessel Bogart, it's so hot and muggy here in St. Louis, Missouri. Alaska looks spectacular and inspiring. May your hands be prosperous and your heart soar to the mountaintops. We love you and can't wait to hear from you. Love Mom, Dad, Grandma Fran, Grandma Lynn, Alan, Jamaica, Paolo, Malachi, Roman, Jojo, Zion, Uncle Mike, Aunt Nicolia, Liam, Cole, Uncle Ronaldo, Cousin Nicole, Aunt Angie, and Uncle Arthur. That message comes with a song request. We'll get Bessie Smith's St. Louis Blues on after the show. Another song request from Dito at the Togiak Tower for Perry Lee on the Wood River Tower. Perry, listen up for I Got You by Dwight Yoakam. Happy birthday to Grandma Martha Backman at Coffee Point, with love from Danny, Casey, and Emery. Happy birthday also to Captain Mike Fracero in Igigik from the family.
Hang ni kanu te respenun, hang ni kanu te respenun, hang ni kanu te respenun.
For your marine weather forecast in Bristol Bay, tonight southwest winds blowing 15 knots, becoming a variable wind of 10 knots, seas 4. Thursday, variable winds 10 knots in the morning, becoming a southeast wind of 20 knots, seas 3 feet. A small craft advisory Thursday night as southeast winds of 20 knots build to 30 knots, seas 6 feet. Friday, south winds 25 knots, seas 5. And now it's riddle time. In yesterday's riddle, you met three people, one knight, who always tells the truth, one knave, who always lies, and a spy, who can tell the truth or lie at will. Emmett said, George is a spy. George said, no, Lorraine is the spy. Lorraine said, no, George really is the spy. Which person is which? The answer is, George is the knight, Lorraine is the spy, Emmett is the slimy knave. Tonight is our last riddle on the island of knights, knaves, and spies. As with the others, it appears in the magazine Popular Mechanics. You come across three armored figures. You know that one is a knight, one is a knave, and one is a spy, but you don't know who's who. You're allowed to ask these three people two yes or no questions. They will all answer you, one at a time, with either a yes or a no. How do you determine the true identities of these fellows? One more time. You come across three armored figures. You know that one is a knight, one is a knave, and one is a spy, but you don't know which is which. Again, knights always tell the truth, knaves always lie, and spies can either tell the truth or lie. You're allowed to ask the three people two yes or no questions. They'll all answer you, one at a time, with either a yes or a no. How do you determine the identity of these people? Something to ponder. Check back in tomorrow for the answer. Thanks to Austin Fast and Mitch Borden for their work on tonight's show. Again, many thanks to all of you who have supported our work by calling into KDLG or by donating pounds of salmon at the Tinder. It's a privilege to be on the air with you, and this show can't happen without your support. I'm your host, Avery Lill. Have a great evening. I'll meet you back here tomorrow at 6.